of the emperor Tiberius. When Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Ituraea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went out through the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time, this second Sunday of Advent. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Grant that we may be grateful enough to keep it not for a day, but for always. This is a mystery, God, a miracle, God. And we are so thankful for Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. So I'm going to give you a little insight, a little behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz type of information about how we plan worship. So stay with me for a moment. I'm hearing myself all over the place with mics. I like my voice, but not that much. Can we fix that? Can you all hear the echo too? It's just me. Every Monday, a team of us gather to pray, to discern, and together plan worship. We talk about how worship begins from the parking lot to the seats to the sound, the music, the message, technology, and even the announcements. As we reflect on each service, we share our growing edges, and we celebrate what went well. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit and a lot of laughter, we come up with new creative ideas. So earlier this week, well, last week, I was reminded by one of our staff of a scene from the movie The Incredibles. Do you remember the movie The Incredibles? Where Edna Mode is sitting with Mr. Incredible, and she is preparing to design a new superhero suit for him. He wants a classic suit with a cape, and she looks at him and says, "No capes." Do you remember that scene? He wants this classic suit. He wants this cape because you know all superheroes have to have capes. She gives a list of examples of why a superhero should not have a cape. A list of mishaps that occurred with other supers who did have capes. A mishap with the cape getting caught in a rocket after saving the world. A mishap where the cape gets caught in an airplane wing. She finishes the story with her famous "no cape" line. I have to say, when it comes to worship planning, I am Edna Mode, especially during Advent. Someone is nodding their head over here. See, Advent is a season of preparation for the Christ child. Advent is a season of keeping calm and having hope. Advent is a season of waiting. So instead of no capes, I'm saying no singing about crosses and graves and death and resurrection and no Christmas songs. Sarah's nodding. I know Drew's around here somewhere. Over the years, I've given in just a little bit because waiting is hard. We want the tradition of being able to walk in and sing those Christmas songs right away. Retailers inform us in October, it's Christmas. Santa is in the mall right after Thanksgiving and will be here on Wednesday as well, so it must be Christmas. Sometimes we forget that Christmas and Advent are two separate seasons. Christmas is not something we just jump into without being ready. We can't be fully ready for Christmas unless we prepare our hearts through the season of Advent, ready to accept Christ and adopt the life that he is calling us into. As we hear the challenging, uncomfortable words of John the Baptist, we are being called this day to a different kind of preparation, an eternal preparation. Advent is a restart, a time to give our lives and to get our lives in line so that we will be ready for when Jesus finally comes. Waiting is hard. And I don't know if, like me, you heard this proverb growing up, every good thing comes to those who wait. In today's passage, John the Baptist leads us down a path of understanding the significance of waiting for the promise and peace of Christ through preparation. We hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, and we sense the urgency of John the Baptist when his lone voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation." All humanity will see God's salvation. I love how Luke sets the stage by using the past, the present, and the future to engage those words to those who hear, "Prepare the way for the Lord." Chapter 3 is considered the true beginning of Luke's narrative. He starts with a little bit of history, an opening with a contrast between a humble servant and the regal authority Luke identifies. He identifies their seats of power and sets the stage for God's story, his story, or history. For the doubters, the naysayers, we're talking real dates with real people and real events. A first century, humbled servant, crying out in the wilderness, surrounded by an A-list of royal positions, holding political power and authority. Sometimes we witness similar dynamics play out in our community, in our world. For all of you English and film majors, it is a foreshadowing of what is to come, because these very names will repeat themselves during Lent. Yet John the Baptist, knowing the political arena in which he is standing, an outlier, receives the message from God to preach repentance and preparation. Saints, this is not your regular Christmas story. Repentance is a foreign word, and for many, hard to understand. What does it mean to repent? How do we repent? Why would we repent? The writer Kathleen Norris was an artist in residence at a parochial school, and would often teach the children something about the Psalms. And she would invite them to write their own Psalms. She tells of one boy who wrote a poem, a psalm called "The Monster Who Was Sorry." He began by admitting that he hated it when his father yelled at him. And in the poem, he pictures himself responding by throwing his sister down the stairs, wrecking his room, and then wrecking the whole town. So often we too respond in similar ways when we find out things we do not like. The poem ends with the little boy writing, "Then I sit in my messy house," and Pastor Sheila wants to add, "in my messy room with the memories of the people I have hurt, and I say to myself, I shouldn't have done that." Norris concludes her account of this boy's poem by referring to the 4th century monks who guided beginners in the faith and suggesting that those monks would have told this little boy and would have told us that he was well on his way toward repentance. Not such a monster after all, but only human. If the house is messy, they might have said, why not clean it up? Why not make it into a place where God might wish to dwell? That is repentance. Standing in the middle of a mess and saying, I should not have done that. John the Baptist is challenging each of us to prepare the way for the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, in our community, in our church, in our world. For the Lord will make your paths crooked that are crooked straight. The Lord will take your valleys and fill them to high heavens. The Lord will rough out all those smooth edges and level the mountains that you find yourselves in. Prepare the way for the Lord. So I ask this day, as we head to the table of grace and love, to prepare our hearts by acknowledging what harm we have done, what behaviors, biases, careless acts, thoughts, words, deeds, assumptions, etc., have caused no peace, but instead bumps, potholes, crashes, and detours on our highway to God. The text today is addressing the hearts of men and women. Our hearts. It's not a warning for us, but a proactive move to show us, to advise us, and to tell us what can, does, and will happen. And sometimes we just have to stand in the middle of a messy house and say, I should not have done that. Saints, God will always make a way out of no way. It is up to us, through the grace of God, to acknowledge with our open hearts our misdeeds and repent as followers of Christ. John the Baptist, through the prophetic voice of Isaiah, reminds us that all of humanity will see the salvation of God. The term salvation, way deep in the Greek, is defined as a peace offering after a sacrifice. Salvation is a peace offering. So on this second Sunday of Advent, what do we do when God presents humanity, presents us with a peace offering? What do we do to strengthen and level our connection with God? What do we do as we wait for Christ? I'm going to go back to last week. We keep calm and have hope. We keep calm and ask for forgiveness. We keep calm and say yes to salvation, the peace offering that can only come from God. It's not Christmas yet, and the waiting is hard. The waiting is necessary. It heightens our anticipation, controls our self-centered desires, and it reminds us of what really is important. The waiting gives us an opportunity to restructure our lives so that there is room for Jesus. John's message is not meant to dampen our preparations or smother our good times. His message is meant to prepare us so that we are ready. Our hearts are ready to experience the fullness of hope and peace and joy and love that can only come from Jesus Christ. We wait. But in our waiting, God is working. In our waiting, God is for us. In our waiting, God is preparing us for the coming of the Messiah. In our waiting, we sit together and learn together and worship together and celebrate God together. In our waiting, we do not rush through this season. Christmas cannot really be Christmas unless and until we have prepared for it. Waiting for Christmas, saints. Maybe like waiting because it seems as if it's 1,000 years away. But the wait is worth it. The second wonder of Christmas is keep calm and receive the peace offering. Receive the salvation of the Lord. So prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And all humanity will see the salvation, the peace offering of our God. So wait, because it's worth it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time to come before your throne. To hear how waiting for you is worth it. We go to your grace today. your table of grace with thoughts on our mind, asking for forgiveness, opening our hearts to receive all that you have for us so that we may share you with the world. We bless your holy name, O God, for you are worthy of all the praise. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen.